Good afternoon, everybody. Can everybody hear me? That's good to know. It's great to see so many of you here today protesting outside of the town hall on the day that the council will meet to set its budget for next year. I think we send a very loud and clear message. Before we start the proceedings today, there's just one important message that I want you to think about. We got a telephone call in this morning asking us to raise with you, to make a request to you. It was from a Mr. Nick Clegg. By all accounts, a deposit was lost yesterday in Barnsley. They think it might have blown down the M1 to Sheffield, so if anybody finds it, can they return it to his constituency office in Hallam? Colleagues, this is an important demonstration. But of course, we stand here today in Sheffield not alone. These demonstrations are happening in towns and cities across the UK. People coming together, not only public sector workers, but service users and people in the wider community, to send a very, very clear message, not only to our elected politicians in local town halls, but also to our elected politicians nationally, that you are simply getting it wrong, that the economic policies that you're following, the cutting public services at a time when the economy is shrinking, putting public service workers on the dole and taking those much needed vital services out of our communities, is simply wrong, and it's not fair. And we send that message very clearly today to our elected representatives here. Our public services are far too important. Of course, what we see from the right-wing press, as is always the case, a message of doom, a message that there's no alternative, that it really doesn't matter coming out because nothing will change. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We know from our history that when people come together in solidarity, things do change. The Charterist movement that campaigned for votes for working class people were told, you won't get them. But they were the many, and the people with self-interest were the few, and we got those votes. The Suffragettes movement, who campaigned for votes for women, were told that you won't get those votes, but they were the many, and the people the people with self-interest were the few, and those votes were delivered. And what's happening now in North Africa is not about a religious revolution, but about working people, particularly working people who are young, coming together and saying, we won't have this poverty, we won't be disenfranchised, and we will take on those in power and elite, and they're winning. So all the evidence is that when working people come together, things do change. And we come together here today, but this is the start of our protest. And we take this, and our colleagues up and down the country take their campaigns, and we join together on the streets of London on the 26th of March, where we hope there'll be 700,000 people sending a very clear message. Sending a very clear message that unless and until the failed economic policies of this government change, we will campaign and we will fight those cuts in every corner of this country. And come the local elections in May, there'll be Tories and Liberals and others who support that policy who'll be losing their deposits, not only in Barnsley but in every town and city in this country. Colleagues, it gives me great pleasure to announce our first speaker this afternoon, and that's Tim Roach. Tim's the Regional Secretary of the GMB, and he's currently President of the Yorkshire and Humberside TUC. Tim.
Thanks very much indeed, Chris. And when Chris said that one of the speakers is running late, I was hoping it'd be Scriven, and perhaps he'd finally decided not to turn up. Or rather to back the Labour amendments, but of course that's That's not realistic at all. Well, good afternoon, everybody. And can I first of all say thank you so much for so many of you turning out. You obviously realise what an important day this is for the people of Sheffield, and you've taken to the streets to show your demonstration. But I just want to start with Scriven, because only a week or two ago he made it absolutely clear how much he views, or rather how little he views, the people of Sheffield. He was one of the few Liberal Democrat leaders of councils up and down the UK who refused to sign a letter that went into the Times condemning the reduction in budgets, the massive, huge reduction in budgets that have gone into local government. The leader, Lib Dem leader, I should say, of Hull signed it. The Newcastle leader signed it, but no, Scriven wouldn't do that, and he therefore has become just a sad, poor apologist for the Conservative introduced cuts. And I think that's a very important message, because let's not also forget what was said by Lord Young only a month or two ago. And the reason, I know this is a bit old news, but the reason I keep reminding people of this is because when he said he doesn't know what all the fuss is about, and when he said that you've never had it so good, I think that just shows you that the Tories and the Liberal Democrats, just snivelling up behind them, haven't got any idea or any real contact with the working men and women of this country, and we should never forget that. But I want to talk to you about three areas. First of all, who caused and who created this mess? Secondly, about the Tory lead proposals and its impact, and what's the alternative? And first of all, about the job cuts. 700,000 public sector job cuts. The same number in the private sector in terms of supply industries. So you're looking at 1.5 million people unemployed, to add to the 2.5 million already on the dole and searching jobs. And just on the way here just now, I was listening to the radio, and one of the Tory ministers was saying, he was in South Yorkshire, and he said, I've been to a number of key retail providers, and they're telling me they've never had it so good, and there's loads of jobs coming up. He said, and also, he said, in the manufacturing industries in and around South Yorkshire, it's never been so good, it's very buoyant. He said, and then in terms of public sector jobs, he said, it's not real people losing real jobs. He said, these are non-jobs. He said, there's thousands of non-jobs. And the interviewer said to him, you know, give us some details then. He said, oh, I haven't got any details. He said, don't ask me for any details. I haven't got any details at all. That's because what they're talking, frankly, comrades, is bullshit. And they know it. And they won't have it. That what we're talking about here is real people losing real jobs in real county town halls up and down the Yorkshire. And they're trying to replace them with jobs in Asda and Lidl. And it just won't wash, and we won't have it. And let's be really clear about where this deficit came from. It came from the £1 trillion bailout of the banks, the greedy bastards of the banks that I'm looking at over there, Barclays and the others. That's where it came from. And this minister again was trying to say that it was the Labour government who left us in this sort of debt. Was it the Labour government that left Germany in a bigger debt than the UK is? Was it the Labour government that left the US in a bigger state and a bigger debt than this country is? Of course it wasn't. It was about those greedy, snivelling gits and about the money-grabbing, dodgy dealing that they've done for many years. And finally they were flushed out. And what wasn't it? I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't the people like yourselves. It wasn't about your gold-plated pensions. It wasn't about the escalated, wonderful, magnificent terms and conditions that you all enjoy. It was nothing to do with that. But of course, the Conservative response is to target the ordinary working men and women. And it's been their ideology for many years. That's why I've reminded you about what Lord Young says. It's given them an opportunity at long last to use this as an excuse to decimate the welfare state, to hit the ordinary working man and woman. I was talking to a guy just before, and he said to me, don't forget the unemployed. No, I won't forget the unemployed. I won't forget people who are on welfare benefits, what we call the most needy in our society. What do they call them? They call them lazy. They call them the scroungers. They blame people for being unemployed rather than us try and support them and get them into something decent, a bit of humanity into their lives. But then they go further, much further, 30% cuts to some council budgets and front-loaded. What a surprise. What's front-loaded about? Well, what that means, and I know you know this, but what that means is that you take the pain in the first year or two, with the idea being that in 3 or 4 years' time, when we're approaching a general election, that we'd have forgotten all of the pain and misery they cause us, and we'll elect them back in. Well, I'll tell you what, if we let that happen, then we're all wasting our time on the street today, and we might as well not bother. Let's make sure we never forget that, and remind people never to forget it as well. And these cuts are hitting the poorest. These are statistical facts. Hitting the poorest 15 times harder than the wealthy and the more rich. And what do they intend? They intend to cut the terms and conditions of all of you standing here. Cut your pay, cut your hours. Now, this is the one bit where I do have to speak with my GMB Regional Secretary's hat on, and rather than the TUC. Because I'll tell every single council leader and every single manager that's negotiating with the GMB up and down the country, and I know I speak for unison here as well. You have a very difficult job to do, and we respect that. But it isn't our job to negotiate cuts in hours and terms and conditions and see our members out the door, and we never will. We never will, comrades. And let's look at the economy. What's happening with the economy? Well, it's simple. It's absolutely simple. If you have people under threat of redundancy, if you have people without any job anymore, if you're cutting people's benefits, they don't have the money to spend anymore and they don't have the confidence to spend it. Every single time you go onto the petrol station forecourt, fuel goes up. That has an impact on the prices of every single thing on the shelves of the shops. So as prices go up, fuel goes up, people have less confidence to spend the money, the economy is going down the tubes. It's absolutely simple economics. And what have we got to do? Well, I'll talk about the alternative in a minute because I said I would. But just beforehand, I want to talk about getting angry. And I want to talk about realising what the picture is. Because I don't think enough people realise what the true picture is. And we need to get our members angry. And they need to stay angry. Look what happened. And Chris has mentioned it a bit about in North Africa. But look what happened, first of all, in France. Not for the first time. The French people took to the streets. They did something about it. Because they're angry and they're not having it. And the only way is to take some action. And then we've seen it in Egypt and Tunisia and Libya. I mean, what's going on? People are not having it anymore. And we need to do the same. But there's one other group of people that I absolutely need to pay testament to today, and that's the students. Because it's nice and refreshing to see the students of public enemy number one again, just like they were in Thatcher's day. And I think we owe them due regard for their energy, for their commitment, for their courage and for their leadership. Because it's the young people of the world today and of the UK today that they realise what's happening. And in terms of education, with the decimation of the education maintenance allowance, with the trebling of tuition fees, they realise what's happening. And it will go back to the day, certainly for further and higher education, but when I was a kid, my old man was a docker and my mum was a part-time shop worker because she had five kids to look after. When I got to 16, there wasn't a question in the world. There was never a single discussion point ever about me going to university. Not ever. They couldn't afford it. They didn't have two acres to rub together. They could barely keep the roof over their head. That was how it was. And what's going to happen now? We're going to go back there. Because people aren't going to be able to afford to put their kids through university so that those kids get exactly the same opportunity of the stinking wealthy and the stinking rich. That's what we're campaigning against. That's what the students are taking to the streets for. And whilst in the one or two areas they may go over the top, they deserve our support and they deserve our encouragement. And I said I would talk to you a bit about the alternative, because I'm saying there is an alternative. And I'll tell you what I don't think the alternative is. And yes, I'm a member of the Labour Party and I've been for many, many years, but I don't think the Labour Party's got it right on this. The Labour Party have said, well, you know, we know there has to be cuts made, but we'd make them a bit less deep and a bit less quickly. There doesn't have to be cuts made. Let's have a look at what happened with this economy between 1918 and 1961. The gross domestic product of this country throughout all of those years was much higher, percentage-wise, well over 100 GDP. And what did we do during those years? There wasn't a single job out the door. What we did was things that were innovative, things that were different. We started talking about investment. We invested in introducing state pensions. We invested in introducing the NHS and then improving it. We invested in creation of the welfare state. We invested in nationalising mines and railways. We invested in education for everybody. That was the sort of thing we did. So don't tell me you have to make cuts. The idea of investing and making people wealthy, getting them to go out and spend the money in the high streets, creates the wealth and the economy that we need to see. That's what we need to see from this government, and we'll never see it while it's a condemned coalition. And the last bit from me is where we go from here. And this is with my TUC hat on. Because first of all, yes, we do need to see almost a million or up to a million or more people at the demonstration on the 26th of March. But I'll tell you my real concern, comrades, my real concern is that people will turn up on the 26th of March, go home, sit in front of the fire, kick their shoes off and say, we've done our bit. And that is just the start of it. I'm sorry. And as Chris said, We've got to get into the communities, our local communities, get into our workplaces, get into our workplace branches, and tell people what it's all about. Tell them about there are alternatives and what they are. And we need to continue to campaign up and down the UK until the May elections, when we sling these lot out of here and get Labour back into power, and all the way up to the general election when we return a Labour government. Thank you all for coming. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for that, Tim. We've both spoken already about solidarity, about the need for public service workers, for trade unionists to come together, to work with community groups, to service users, to build that coalition of resistance against the coalition's policies. Let me tell you a very quick story that was told to me a number of years ago about solidarity. This was told to me by an American miner that came over to the UK as part of a trade union delegation. He said that in his town, when he was growing up, there was a young lad who fell down a well, and the whole village went off to try and save this young lad from the well, and they all went with individual pieces of rope, and the first person lowered their rope down into the well, and he shouted up, "It's not long enough, I can't grab it." The second person lowered his bit of rope into the well. He said, "It's still not long enough, I can't grab it." And this went on two or three times. And the young lad shouted up and said, "Tie your ropes together." And that's really what solidarity is about. It's about us in our trade union branches and in our communities, in our families, tying our ropes together to make our movement stronger. And I say that because the next speaker really does typify what solidarity is about. Dawn Millington and the colleagues from Rushy Meadows.
Good afternoon. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Dawn Millington, and these are my colleagues from Rushy Meadow. And we just want to say a bit about our service. I don't know if you read in the paper recently that they proposed to cut Rushy Meadow. We are a service, but we've all been rated outstanding. We weren't a failing service. There was no reason to cut it. We are supporting 30 families with children with learning disabilities, with challenging behaviours. They're the most beautiful, loving kids in the world. But then families need a break, and we offer that break, and without that they would not be able to cope. Now, what happened when these proposals were put forward was that the staff, the unions and the families got together, and we changed that. We overruled what their proposals were, and we stopped that. And what I want to say today is, if we come together, we can stop anything, but we have to stand side by side and fight whatever proposals are coming our way. Thank you.
Dawn's not spoken before, it's such a large crowd, a bit nervous, but she did absolutely great. It's inspiring to see that when we do come together, we can make changes. Our third speaker today, colleagues, is a lifelong trade unionist, a friend of the trade union movement. Your MP for Sheffield Central in Parliament. I know someone who argues very strongly for his constituents, but also argues for working people and for the rights of trade unions and public sector workers. Paul Bomb.
Thanks very much, and I'm really pleased to be speaking after Dawn, because Dawn made a very powerful point about solidarity. What we need to do as a movement is bring together those people who benefit from public services with those people who deliver public services, to make the case for public services, because this isn't just an argument about the cuts. This is a deeply ideological argument from a government that wants to fundamentally change the shape of British society, wants to do away with the legacy of the 1945 Labour government in terms of the sort of country we want, the sort of country we want to live in. And Tim's point was important as well, that we are being told constantly, and I get it, I tell you, one of the worst things about being a Member of Parliament is sitting on those opposition benches and hearing the arguments day in, day out from the Tory and Lib Dem benches that all that's happening now is a fault of Labour overspending. Labour overspending? What are they talking about? Are they talking about the hospitals we built? Are they talking about the schools we built, the teachers we employed, the police officers we employed? They weren't arguing against that back until 2008 when the banking crisis hit. We had boxed the Tories into a corner where they were forced to say until 2008 that they would match Labour's spending plans. Plans that they now say were wasteful, profligacy that have caused the crisis. And we need to take that argument on, because the Tories are not in this just scoring political points. It's an ideological offensive to undermine people's belief in public services. All this stuff we get about chief executives' pay in the town halls. Now, I agree that some public sector pay at the top has got out of control. It's got out of control because we've allowed private sector pay to get out of control to obscene levels, which has sucked up some of the top managers, and now that's being used as an excuse not to nail the top managers but to nail those people who are on the lowest pay. And we need to take that on. And I remember last summer Nick Clegg, Cleggzilla himself, Nick Clegg arguing in a TV interview, doing what he does best, defending the Tories, arguing that, look, I didn't get into politics. My friend David Cameron didn't get into politics to cut public spending. Wrong, Nick. That's exactly what the Tories get into politics for. Cutting public spending and cutting the size of their state. I remember how the Tories laid waste to our public services in the 80s and the 90s. Many people here can remember. Some of you are not old enough to remember, and that's great to see young people involved in this campaign too. But I remember buckets in the corridors in our schools because there was no money to repair the roofs. I remember every winter patients stacked up in Sheffield Hospital corridors because you couldn't find the beds for them. The infrastructure of our welfare state collapsed under the Tories over those 18 long years from 1979. And when we were elected, you know, David Cameron talked about broken Britain. The real broken Britain was the one we inherited in 1997 and had to invest all that money repairing it. And they resent it. They resent it so much, the investment in our schools and our hospitals. And when George Osborne got up in the House of Commons to deliver the comprehensive spending review, decimating our society, laying waste to our public services, the response of the Tories was hysterical joy. They got up and they slapping each other on the backs and they were waving their order papers. They were so happy to turn around the investment in our public services from the previous 13 years. And the first person to lean over and slap George Osborne on the back was Nick Clegg. And let's make no mistake, what they're trying to achieve is not simply a smaller state. Now, state is a very negative word. What we mean by the state, clearly, everybody here knows. It's those public services. It's those interventions which make a difference in people's lives, which are transformational support that you as public sector workers provide. Not simply creating a smaller state. Their objective, look across what they're doing in schools, what they're doing in universities, what they're doing in health, is to create a two-tier state, where the best will be available for those who can provide the most, and the state itself will provide a safety net for those who can't afford it. There was one Tory who got up in Prime Minister's questions on Wednesday, and sometimes the mask slips behind some of the rhetoric, who said, "Will the Prime Minister assure me that in future the welfare state will be nothing more than a safety net for the most unfortunate?" The mask slipping really showing where many of the Tories are standing on these issues. And it clearly, as we know more than anybody in Sheffield, it's not just the Tories. They couldn't do it without the Liberal Democrats. And Clegg isn't just there. With Chris Huhne, with Danny Alexander, with the others on their, in their Tory cabinet. He isn't just there for the big car and the big job. Make no mistake, the really frightening thing that will shock many of those people who voted Liberal Democrat last May is they believe this stuff. Nick Clegg talked about his principles more than anything being about freedom from taxation and a smaller state. He wrote in the Times just before Christmas, justifying the benefit cuts, not by reference to the economic situation, but justifying the benefit cuts by saying these are based on a deeply liberal principle, freeing people from their dependency on the state. He went on to say that it is not the responsibility of the state to compensate the poor for their predicament. These Liberal Democrats are not the people that many voters thought mistakenly they were supporting last May. These Liberal Democrats have been seized by a deeply right-wing clique who are ideologically aligned with the Conservatives and enjoying implementing the cuts that they are. And for some of them, that's been difficult. And there were the 90 Liberal Democrat leaders from councils across the country who've spoken out. Where were the leadership of Sheffield Liberal Democrats? Refusing to join with those 90 leaders, refusing to speak out, and completely aligning themselves with Cleggzilla and the Tories. And it's not simply that the cuts are unnecessary, the cuts are unfair. While Sheffield and many cities like us are facing 30% cuts in local authority funding, what is happening in Tory Dorset? They're getting an increase. That's outrageous. Hitting the north, hitting those who can afford it least, these cuts are a disgrace. But let me say that I think on May the 5th, there will be an opportunity for the people of Sheffield to cast their verdict on these Liberal Democrats, just as the people of Barnsley did yesterday. Liberal Democrats into sixth place. Liberal Democrats kicked out of this town hall.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Paul. It's true, of course, that the Liberals and the Tories have absolutely nothing to say in the interests of ordinary working people. We know that Paul and colleagues like him in the Labour Party will be the people that are arguing to make sure that the next time we go to a general election, the Labour Party talks to the interests of working people and not just the interests of big business. And we thank you for the work that he does on that. Colleagues, our next speaker, our penultimate speaker, is a colleague, a local trade union activist here in Sheffield. It's Mark Keely from Unite.
First of all, thanks for turning up on this freezing cold day. A day that's as cold as Cameron's heart. And that is very cold. I'd just like to say, we're not all in this together. Nick Clegg and David Cameron. Public school boys in the Millionaires Club. Well, I'm looking around here today and I can't spot many millionaires. But I'll tell you what I can spot. I can spot a group of people who are determined to fight the unfair behaviour of this government and also this council. How our council leader can back the likes of Cameron and Clegg in these cuts, I find utterly bewildering. 1,200 jobs will be lost to the sons and daughters of the people of Sheffield today. 270 jobs could go compulsory redundancy. That's for sale signs going up on people's houses and a lifetime of misery to come. This is only, however, the first in a series of cuts that will last 3 years. We'll be up here a few more times before we've done, but it doesn't have to be this way. The British government has only just finished forking out for the Second World War. What this government is asking us to do is, if you take a 25-year mortgage out, they've said, oh, hang on, we're only 3 years into it, but we've decided we want it all paid up by Christmas. Economics of the madhouse. We're looking at wage cuts on this council. Single status was brought in to equalise pay, fair pay for all. What's happened? This council has ditched its promises. The Hutton report is also on about slashing our pensions. Every single public sector worker will be faced with an increase of at least 50% in the amount they will have to pay towards their pensions. This is a deliberate tactic, knowing that a lot of people won't be able to afford it, and they will not have the dignity in old age of a fair pension as a result. Why? Because Cameron and Clegg have snatched it off them. They're the biggest thieves in this country. And while we're on the subject of gold-plated pensions, first of all, council staff, 70% of them earn under £21,000 a year. The average pension for a council worker is about £4,000 a year. Well, I don't know how much gold you're going to buy with that, but I don't think it's going to be very much. But I'm stood here today outside at our town hall, and I'm just going to tell you two or three things where they're making the cuts and why they don't need to make those cuts. The council are about to spend £10 million on a call centre. Well, that'll be great when you're listening to Greensleeves while your mum is freezing at home because her own carer hasn't been able to come round because they've privatised it to some rubbishy private company who pay such poor wages they can't get people to turn up. Or if you happen to be one of Sheffield's drivers or driving through Sheffield, well, the good news is at the moment there's some of our lads at Street Force who are on a potential redundancy list. It beggars belief, but in Pothole City they're actually talking about making highway workers redundant. Absolute madness. They're also talking about sacking some of the design guys down at Carbrook who design better roads for the city. We've got a PFI coming next year. I mean, those same companies will be looking through the phone book to find out where they live and to take them back on again. And also, we've got the drivers and escorts at Staniforth Road. There's going to be cuts to some of the buses to some of the most vulnerable people in Sheffield due to this lot. And to IKEA, Shadow Industries has been going for years and years and years and years. I don't know the exact when it started, but it provides work to the disabled, etc. And they are cutting that, the bit of dignity some of our disabled workers have, going to work, earning a wage. That's all being took away. Why? Because this government basically are interested in looking after their benefactors, the banks and the City of London, over the people of this great country and this great city. Well, I say enough is enough. It is time to fight. And let's all fight right now.
Thanks for that, Mark. We get cut our final speaker this afternoon. A colleague of mine from GMB, Pete Davies. Pete's going to wrap it up. Can I just say before Pete comes on, we have had a request from our members, public servants who are responsible for running the meeting today, that there are a maximum of 150 people that are allowed in the council chamber, in the public gallery of the council chamber. There's just a request that if people want to go into the council chamber to listen to the debate over the budget, that if you can do so in an orderly manner rather than all rushing at the same time, and they'll try and get as many people seated as practically possible. Pete Davies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely fantastic to see this turn out today on, let's face it, what is a working day for most of us. Brilliant, and thank you for coming. I just want to touch on why it's so important in May that we have a change to administration. And I know my colleagues in the Labour Party would say, oh, it's not a foregone conclusion, Pete. I personally, for a long time now, have been saying that it is. Well, that's what I'm about to take you through. I'm just going to give you some examples of the difference that we're feeling already in the trade union movement. I've been an officer in this city for nigh on 3 years now, and I have begged and begged to meet with the decision makers. The decision makers in there are the Lib Dems. The Lib Dems are in power. Now, we have to sit down week in, week out, month in, month out, and we have to talk to officers. Officers who aren't making decisions. Officers who are running back to their Lib Dem councillors for the nod. And we can't negotiate like that. I've asked for meetings with Scriven. Our conveners and Unison's conveners have asked for meetings with Scriven. In 3 years, I have sat opposite that man for 1 hour. 1 hour, £84 million in cuts, and he's given us one bloody hour. Now, the Labour Party have been approaching us for months. We've been talking to them for months. Last week, we spent more time talking to Julie Dore last week in one day than we've spent in 5 years with the Lib Dems, and that's at their invitation. There were cuts that were posed to Sheffield Homes, jobs and money were going in Sheffield Homes. They were going because this lot, the Lib Dems, decided they were taking £800,000 out of the housing revenue account and they were going to set up a nice little fund called the Your Communities, Your Fund. You decide. And the tenants and residents were then going to decide what to spend that money on. I've got a list of what that money was spent on last year. It cost them £300,000 to spend it. And the list includes things like a hand pump for the local fire brigade. Now, that is important. A bench in one of the local parks, that is important. But is that what tenants' rents should really be spent on when they're trying to pick up the phone and make a complaint to Sheffield Homes and there's nobody on the other end of the line because of cutbacks? Now, the tenants, in partnership with the Labour Party and in partnership with the trade unions, voted 100% at the citywide forum to send that money back into the housing revenue account and to stop the job cuts and to stop the move on terms and conditions. And the decision was made and we were successful. We were successful and we were backed in there. Now, what the Lib Dems have done since, is they've circumvented that decision and they're now rebirthing it in a different form. So it wouldn't matter if Julie Dore and the Greens force through a budget change today. It'll be circumvented. They'll play politics and they'll play politics in there until May. And when we should have a change of leadership, shouldn't be today, it shouldn't be next week, it should be when the people of Sheffield decide in May and give them the arse kicking that their colleagues have just had in Barnsley. Let's have them out and let's have them out in May. These cuts are too deep, they're too soon, and we'll fight all the way. And we will fight for our members' terms and conditions, and we'll fight for our members' jobs, regardless of who is at the other side of the negotiating table. But I tell you what's important, brothers and sisters. There has to be somebody at the other side of the negotiating table. And there has to be somebody who makes decisions. And they should be your elected councillors and not the bloody officers that are working upstairs. That will be the difference in May. And that's the promise we've got from Labour. Now, we'll hold them to that promise. We're going to be stood here, comrades, and we're going to be stood here for the next 3 years. It doesn't end in May. But the first battle, the penultimate battle, the battle we must win, and we must follow our brothers and sisters in Barnsley and kick these buggers out in May. Thank you very much.